Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast.
So today's readings are talking about marriage, but it's talking about marriage within the context of God's original intention, the way he designed things, the way things were created. And so we see this connection with Genesis when God creates man and woman, and the ideal is that they come together in this covenant relationship with each other and with God, and there's this perfect relationship between themselves, God, and all of creation. And as this, of course, refers to the way that God designed not only his relationship with us, but it also points to the way that he wants us to live within his particular will or his kingdom or his intention. And unfortunately, the scribes and the Pharisees, when they came to Jesus and asked a question about marriage, they asked the wrong question. So the question they asked is it okay to divorce for whatever reason? And Jesus' answer is basically saying that you're asking the wrong question. It would be, for example, if I want to start a new business and I go in and I get a loan, and while I'm getting a loan, I say, how easy is it for me to default on the loan? You know, it's asking the question that implies that they're not taking seriously the great gift and the blessing that God intends for that particular way of life or marriage, for that covenant relationship with each other connected with God. And it really has to do with entering into the kingdom that Jesus offers the people. And it's part of what we express, actually, every time we pray the Our Father. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And when we say that, we're asking for the way that heaven works, the way that God designed things. May that be like that here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Everything perfectly aligned with God's will. And not just may it be in some vague sense, but may it be in me. May God's will be done in me as it is in heaven. And so this is why Jesus explains everything the way that he does. He goes back to Genesis and he describes marriage within this context, that it's part of God's design, and we do well when we do our best to strive to follow God's will for us and his will for us to enter into his kingdom and allow God's will to be done. Now, I'm going to do a bit of a pivot, but before I do, I'll just mention that I have a further discussion about this or explanation of this you can find on the parish website. If you just go to the website, go under media and look at Father Mike's blog, I give a bit more of a biblical reflection on this particular passage that goes also, it parallels Matthew 19. But I want to do a bit of a pivot because speaking of following God's will for us, we've been working on the pastoral plan of the parish over the last couple years. And during that time, there's been a lot of discussion, there's been a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment, a lot of rough drafts, changing things. And it was in August that we kind of came together and we pretty much figured out the design that we wanted to do and the ideas that we wanted to prioritize and how we want to be able to work on that. So we have the structure that we want to be able to go forward with. And so today I wanted to discuss a little bit about that and show you or reveal to you to a certain degree what we've got going with the pastoral plan. And like any pastoral plan, the plan that we want to use for the parish, there is a bit of a mission statement. And so I'll read the mission statement and do a brief explanation of that. St. Cecilia Catholic Church, a vibrant and diverse parish of the Archdiocese of Portland, is dedicated to living, believing, praying, and celebrating the transformative love of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the first part of the mission statement. It describes who we are. So, vibrant and diverse. And so, vibrant meaning that hopefully we have a certain joy and energy that comes from the faith that we have, that it's not just an intellectual belief system that's kind of dead, you know, but it's something that's really alive and really expressive. And then, diverse, I don't mean that in the political sense. But it just is a description of who we are. We've got people with all kinds of different ages, philosophies, backgrounds, languages, cultures. It's just one of the things that I really love about the Catholic Church is we're not just, okay, you've got to be within this age group, you've got to be within this ideology. You know, it really is something that maybe we all come from slightly different backgrounds, but there's something greater than all of that, and that is the gospel and our faith. So it's just acknowledging that as part of who we are as well. And then dedicated to living, believing, praying, and celebrating the love of Christ. Well, again, it's not just something that lives in the head, but hopefully it's something that's being expressed in the way that we live, believe, pray, and celebrate. So this is the first part, which describes who we are as a people of God in this parish. All right, so now the second part is how we live that out. So our mission or our vision. So our mission is to create a welcoming space where individuals can encounter Jesus, become disciples, and share the good news, thereby acting as a catalyst for positive change within our community. All right, so a little more about that. Creating a welcoming space means just giving an opportunity for God to do his work, where individuals can encounter Jesus, become disciples, and share the good news. I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later, you know, but that's what we do. And then also acting as a catalyst for positive change within our community. So our community is not just the church here at St. Cecilia, but it means the region, the area that we live. That hopefully what we're doing here at the church is something that brings out a positive influence in the area around Beaverton. And so this is part of the idea that our mission is not just self-serving, but it's to positively affect and impact the area around us. Okay, so now, so that's just the mission statement. The plan itself, there's a certain graphic that goes with it. And on one part, we have, it's like a crucifix in a sense, because we have the heart of the plan with three areas, so Trinitarian, three, but that kind of forms the core of everything we do and everything we're about. So that should be part of every ministry, it should be part of what we do as a staff, it should be part of our projection and what we prioritize. And so these three specific parts that form the core of everything we do, the first one is encounter Jesus. Right? Because if we don't have an encounter with Jesus, what's the point? We're Christian. That means that ultimately, if we really are worshiping Jesus and trying to follow him, we need to know who he is and have a personal encounter or relationship with him. So that's the first stage. The second one is make disciples. All right, it's one thing to have an encounter. It's another thing to allow that encounter to really form us and help to make us his disciples. And then the third part is share the good news. Well, Jesus' message is not just for us. It's something that is for all people because he's the Lord of all people, the Lord of all creation, of heaven and earth. And so the great blessings that we have, hopefully we want to share those with others. But that happens in a bit of a process, an encounter with Jesus, making disciples, and sharing the good news. So that forms the heart or the core of what we're about as a parish and what we're trying to accomplish. Now, there are four specific priorities. So you can think of the heart in the middle, like the corpus of Jesus, and then the four priorities, like the four parts of the cross. And the first one what's the first one? Liturgy. Okay, I know this. It's one of the problems when you get older. You can't remember. You do remember, but you don't. You know. Anyway, so the first one is liturgy, and the reason for that is that for most people, that is their experience with St. Cecilia in Beaverton. It doesn't mean that the other things don't matter, but it does mean that for most people, if the liturgy is something that they can enter into, they see it in its proper context. That it's not just something we go to and say, okay, Jesus, give me what I want, but it's where we put our hearts, our souls, our minds, our voices, our bodies, and we really glorify God by giving him our worship, and we receive what we need to do so that we can go back out into the world. Well, liturgy is crucial to what we are and who we are as Catholics, and without the liturgy or the Mass, we're just going to go through this life limping around. We might have a bit of a Catholic identity, but it's going to make no practical impact in our lives. So obviously, the liturgy is one of our priorities. The next one's education. And I don't mean education, again, is just memorizing a bunch of facts. It's not like, here's your catechism, go and memorize it. No, but education is looking at all those different angles and how we are formed into disciples. And so that talks about our ability to know how to pray, know what the faith is, know what the gospel is, the kerygma, how we can come to know, love, and serve the Lord. And so we want to take that priority of education and understand it in its complete context. And also it means that what we do in our particular ministries reflects that as well. So, for example, with our religious education, we don't want to just say to the kids, here you go, memorize these things, and we'll just give you your sacrament, and you can go out into the night. You know, we want to bring the families into this, include the parents, help them to come to know Christ and to encounter him, and to be formed as a disciple so that they can also share that good news. And so see how the heart of that, that it just kind of comes and infuses the entirety of these priorities as well. Now, the next one has to do with stewardship. So stewardship, most people think of stewardship as, okay, well, that's just the money, but it's not. Stewardship includes how we put our hearts and our minds and invest into the faith that we have. Just to give you an example of this, after 2 years of being ordained, I was moved to Coos Bay as the pastor there, and the church was losing money, and we figured out that within about 6 months we'd be bankrupt. So I needed to come to the people and say, this is our financial situation, and I'm asking you to pay off this debt so that we can be squared away and move forward. And I didn't feel that I could come and ask them to do something I wasn't willing to do. For my first couple years, I just figured, well, I'm a priest, I don't make any money, I'm just serving the Lord, and this is good enough. But what I found is once I started tithing and once I started investing in the parish to that extent, that all of a sudden I found that there were these results or consequences. And one of those was, is I was just much more invested in the parish, that I saw the parish at Coos Bay is not just their parish that I was a priest at, but it was our parish, and it was my parish. And I also found that my faith meant more to me because I was investing in it. I was making sacrifices for the sake of it, and I wanted it to succeed. And so I think in a similar way that stewardship and our time, talent, and our treasure, the way that we give of ourselves in these ways, that if we're willing to do that, we will start seeing those consequences, that we'll see that our faith means more to us, our church means more to us. We'll see it as our home, and we want it to do well. And so anyway, stewardship is another one of those priorities. And then the last one has to do with service. Because again, it's not just about, well, it's just what I'm getting, but it's also, well, how do we give back to God as he's been so generous with us? How do we give to him through the people and the needs in the region, the area, and in the charitable work? And so the idea of this pastoral plan is not to try to do everything, because y'all know how that is. If you try to do 500 different priorities, you'll find that nothing really ever gets done right. And so there does need to be a certain focus and certain priorities that need to be brought out and to be worked on. And the reason why I'm bringing the pastoral plan to you today is just to introduce it at this point. We have brochures in the back of the church that you can pick up, that you can read more about it. We'll be filling in some of those priorities as we move along. But I think it's also good, not just for the priests, the staff, and the pastoral council that worked so hard to make this happen. We met with the leaders over the last couple weeks and introduced it. But we really also want to offer it to the parish as a whole, so that you can have a better understanding about what we're doing and why we're doing it. Ultimately, it really does come down to that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just as I mentioned in our individual lives, that, you know, may thy will be done in me. And then also as a parish, we want the same thing, you know, but thy will, Lord, be done in us as we come to serve you. And so over this month of October, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in some of the different ways. But at this point, I just want to as I mentioned, offer the overview of the pastoral plan and invite you to come to pray for it so that God's will be done in us and also in our parish.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.